Good morning. Today's Daf and Chagiga is Vav. We are starting on the very bottom of Amud Beis at the junction. We go back to our Mishnah, and today we're going to be discussing Halacha. Yesterday, a day dedicated to Agadata, but today we go back to Halacha, and we go back to a couple points that were discussed in the Mishnah. The Mishnah brought down the basic obligation that one is obligated to bring on Yontiv, a carbon riyah. There are other carbonists as well that comes along on Yontiv, the Chagiga, the Shalmei Simcha, which we'll be discussing in today's daf. There are three carbonists that are brought in total on Yontiv, but the Mishnah focuses on the riyah. Riyah, as we already pointed out, is really a compound obligation. One is riyah azara, that you have to be seen in the azara. And number two is that an ola comes along as you are seen in the azara. And we already discussed in the very beginning of the Masechta, when the Mishnah says, Hakol chayavim b'riyah, are we talking about the Rias Azar? Are we talking about the Rias Ola? We're talking about both. Tosus assumes that we're talking about both, but regardless, so the Mishnah brought down that there is an obligation. Obligation min HaTorah, that men are subject to this obligation of bringing a carbon Ola on every Yontif. With that stated, there's also a mitzvah of Chinuch, that one has to train their children in terms of this obligation. So this begins at what point in time? So if you recall in the Mishnah, it was a machlok between Beis Shammai and Beis Hillel. So Beis Shammai says that if you can take your child and you can put him on your shoulders and you can go up from Yerushalayim up to the Azara, so it's at that point in time, now your child is obligated in the mitzvah of chinuch. How old is that? So as I'm going to show you a little bit later on this morning, it's about 1 year of age. So okay, you're talking about a toddler who can't even walk yet, but they could ride on your shoulders and there's an obligation of chinuch. I think I shared my thoughts. I'd rather, generally speaking, not share my thoughts, but I think I shared my thoughts with you that I think about this machlokes Beis Shammai and Beis Hillel, and I go back to Sukkah, where Beis Shammai and Beis Hillel talk about the chiyuv of Sukkah from a chinuch standpoint in terms of when the child is obligated. And if you recall, so Shammai had a granddaughter, and upon her birth, so we're talking about 1 day old, so they built a Sukkah for her. So, broke the roof off, right? So Beis Shammai has chinuch starting at a really early age, and it's a very interesting shita. But anyway, Beis Hillel says no. Beis Hillel says that the mitzvah of chinuch does not begin at that early stage, but rather chinuch begins when the child can walk, when the child can walk on his own. So he'll hold your hand, but chinuch is going to begin when the child is actually ambulatory and can walk. So that's a machlokes between Beis Shammai and Beis Hillel. With that stated, we turn our attention to our Gemara. Just one other point to review and refresh before we start with the Gemara, and that is women are not obligated in the mitzvah of Re'iyah. There are other aspects of Yontif that women are obligated in, but not in the mitzvah of Re'iyah. That's going to be helpful in terms of helping us navigate through our Gemara. Let's start with the Gemara. So what is a katan? So the Mishnah, the Gemara over here is just citing the Mishnah, which we already reviewed. Maskava Rabbi Zera. Rabbi Zera is going to challenge. Ad hachaman asyeh. Well, who brought the child up until this point in time? Now, the question of the Gemara over here is rooted in the idea that it's hard to imagine that the father is going to be bringing the child from home. Okay. In other words, the mother is raising the child from a very early age. We're talking about really, really young child. We're talking about a toddler, not even. And what, the father brought him from home? That's really unlikely. Okay, fine. But the assumption over here is that this obligation the Mishnah is describing is for Klal Yisrael, for everybody, even those living, you know, out in the boondocks. So Amalei Abaye Ad Hacha. All right, the girsa over here, I'll just go with the girsa that we have in our Gemara. Ad hach de mechayve ima besimcha. I say ima. So the Gemara says is that the question was founded on the fact that the father most likely didn't bring the child from home. So the Gemara says, you're right. The mother brought him from home because the mother's coming as well. Why is mom coming? Because mom's got obligations. Right, you'd think maybe the Gemara would suggest that mom would come because, you know, it's a family it's a family trip. But, okay, the Gemara just sees it all from a halachic standpoint and a halachic perspective. And so the mother's coming because she's also obligated. Now, she's not obligated in Re'iyah, but she is obligated in Simcha. So, and so as a result of that, mother's going to come, and mom's going to come all the way to Yerushalayim.
What difference does it make if who brings the kid? I mean, the kid's there. I mean,
but how did the kid get there?
Who cares?
I mean, if there's an
obligation. The maidservant brought. I mean,
okay. The Gemara is just assuming right now. My chavrus and I earlier this morning also was a little bit befuddled by the question over here. This may just simply be a setup to make the point. It could be. So the mikan ve'elech im yachol la'alos la'achos biyadu shel aviv miyushalayim laharabayis chaya ve'ilo pater. And so now, so we have the child now in Yerushalayim. Mom brought the child to Yerushalayim because mom is in fact obligated. She's an obligated in the mitzvah of simcha. which in just a moment I'm going to try to articulate a little bit better. And so now that the child finds himself in Yerushalayim with mom, so now dad's got to go more steps. Dad's got to now take the walk up from Yerushalayim up to Har HaBayis, eventually up to the Azara. And now, according to Beis Hillel, as long as the child can walk on his own, so the child now is going to go in hand with the father up to the Azara. The Gemara just announced over here that mom is obligated in the mitzvah of Simcha. What are we talking about? So presumably what we're talking about, when I say presumably, so we are talking about the Karban Simcha, meaning on Yontov there are three Karbanos that are brought. There is the Olas Re'iyah, which is what we're talking about. There's also the Chagiga, and there's also the Shalmei Simcha. So presumably what the Gemara over here is talking about is the Shalmei Simcha in terms of the mitzvah Simcha on the woman. You could see the top Tosus over here, where he quotes the Gemara in Kedushin. The Gemara in Kedushin assumes that the mitzvah of Simcha is not a reflection of Karbanos per se, but it's just simply gifts to the wife to make her happy on Yontif. But from our Gemara's perspective, it seems pretty clear that we're talking about the Karban. Why? Because our Gemara is talking about going to Yerushalayim. You don't have to be in Yerushalayim to receive gifts. You have to be in Yerushalayim to eat Karban. So presumably our Gemara over here is talking about the Simcha. Tosos over here makes exactly that observation. Anyway, where we stand right now in the Gemara is that so the whole family came to Yerushalayim. Mom also came because she also has an obligation. She has an obligation in Simcha. And now they're going to dad and son are going to be walking hand in hand, assuming that the child can walk. Hey, she Rebbe Tachas Beis Hillel LeDivrei Beis Shammai VeChana Lo Alsa Ki Amar LiIsha Ayigamal HaNar VeYav Yosiv. So Rebbe was bothered in defense of Beis Hillel and against Beis Shammai with the following. We know in the beginning of Sefer Shmuel, so Chana, after davening for years to have a child, so she had a child. And Shmuel, right? I think everyone knew that. And and she didn't go up, meaning she had an obligation to go up. She didn't go up. V'chana lo ata ki amra li isha ad yigamel hanar. I need to first wean the child, and then we're going to go up. Now the weaning of the child is going to take place 2 years, right? In a standard nursing term back in the good old days was 2 years of age. Okay, so now for Beis Hillel, no problem whatsoever, because according to Beis Hillel, there is no obligation, meaning the obligation of chinuch only begins when the child can walk. And the Gemara's assumption right now is that up until two, the child can't really walk. I know the child takes steps somewhere between one and two. Okay, but we're talking about like walking. So for Beis Hillel, this is no problem whatsoever. But according to Beis Shammai, so we encounter a problem over here because we have a mitzvah of chinuch, and the mitzvah of chinuch is even as long as the child can ride on the shoulders. Child can ride on the shoulders somewhere before 2 years of age. And meanwhile, Chana's taking a pass now. And isn't there a mitzvah of chinuch? And the Gemara's question is really interesting because the Gemara assumes that there was a mitzvah of chinuch going all the way back to the Zman of Shmuel. So the Ad Shigamal HaNarvi Avosim V'Hashmuel D'Yachol Erkov HaKtefo Shal Aviv Hava. So the Gemara articulates exactly this question. You know, Shmuel could ride on dad's shoulders. Why doesn't he ride? So Amarle, according to Beis Shammai, so Amarle Avua, or Abaye, Ulatamech Tichshilach Chanagufa, Milach Mechaiva Besimchas. So the Gemara says, okay, but please allow me to counter. And that is that, you know, Chana didn't go. Chana has an obligation, as we've just established in the Gemara, women have an obligation of Simcha. So Chana should be going to Yerushalayim, shouldn't she? So Elachana Mefan Kusa Yisirasa Chazia Be Bishmuel. So the Gemara explains like this, in defense of Beis Shammai. So what Chana saw was that Shmuel was very sensitive. And v'chasha be b'shmuel l'chulsha d'orcha. And traveling, so with somebody who right now is in a fragile state, and Chana assessed that Shmuel was in a fragile state. The Gemara doesn't give us details, but just in defense of Beis Shammai, Shmuel was in a fragile state, and so therefore traveling would be harmful, perhaps dangerous to Shmuel. And so as a result of that, Chana opted, let's not go. So, and it's interesting because encrypted in the Gemara's answer is that Chana had to forego her own obligation, right? Chana herself had an obligation of Shammai Simcha, but in terms of raising and in this case protecting the child, so fine. So Chana said, look, in other words, he's not going to go because he's fragile, and I'm not going to go because I got to take care of him. Okay. So that was a short defense of Shitas Beis Shammai. Today we're going to be swinging a little bit in different directions in terms of defending Beis Shammai and attacking Beis Shammai. Obviously, the halacha does not fall like Beis Shammai, it falls like Beis Hillel, but the Gemara just took a little bit of precious real estate over here to defend the Shita of Beis Shammai. Later in today's daf, the Gemara is going to be just absolutely confounded when one Amara is going to attempt to align a Tana like Beis Shammai And the Gemara's reaction is, how could you do that? How could you align somebody along the same thought process as Beit Shammai? So a little bit today we're going to be going in both directions in terms of defending Beit Shammai and attacking Beit Shammai. But anyway, by Rav Shimon, kan chiger l'divrei Beit Shammai. So a couple questions. Let's say the child right now has some sort of condition. The child can't walk. So the kan is a chiger. So according to Beit Shammai, v'sum al divrei shneim, and let's say the child Rachmanis is blind according to the both of them, mahu. So the so would there be a mitzvah of chinuch under those circumstances to take the child up? So now the question, of course, for the child who right now currently can't walk is specific to Beit Shammai, because according to Beis Hillel, we already know the answer, meaning there is no mitzvah of chinuch if the child cannot walk on his own. So for Beis Hillel, we already know the answer, but according to Beit Shammai, where the mitzvah of chinuch begins when you could ride the child on your shoulders, or the child can ride on your shoulders. So now, question, according to Beit Shammai, if for whatever reason the child cannot walk, so would there still be a mitzvah of chinuch? So the Gemara says, Hechi Dami. A little bit more specific, please. So are we talking about where these are rachmanis, these are permanent conditions? So then I don't even understand where the question gets off the ground. Meaning, if we're talking about somebody who is rachmanis, he cannot walk, and he's not going to walk, meaning as far as we can diagnose and prognose, he's not going to walk. So for an adult, he wouldn't be obligated. So then we wouldn't even be having a discussion of whether there's chinuch or whether there is no chinuch. And Rashi over here, there's a really interesting Rashi. In fact, I'm going to read the Rashi. So kat mi baye, halo ein chinuch katan, ela kedei lahanigo, sheyesroch achar min hago l'chishi yagdil. Because what's the purpose of chinuch, says Rashi? Rashi says chinuch is to habituate. I know Rashi doesn't use that word, but that's effectively what Rashi's saying. The whole point of chinuch is basically to get the child into habits, good habits, of doing mitzvos. And so over here, if the child is not going to be obligated when he's an adult, or in other words, as far as we can foresee, he's not going to be able to walk. And if he's not going to be obligated as an adult, there simply is no point of chinuch. Because the whole point of chinuch is, let's start forming good habits as you're young. So v'kemish ezeh pato l'chishi agdil, lama li chinuch. And if this child is not going to be obligated when he's adult, so there's no point in forming these habits when he's young. So chinuch is forming habits. That's Rashi over here. There's much more to say about the Rashi. But anyway, we go on in the Gemara. So, so to which the Gemara says, lo tzricha b'chiger sheyachol lihispashei, v'simo sheyachol lihispatech. So we're talking about where these conditions are temporary. Again, as far as we can diagnose, as far as we can prognose, so we see that this is just a temporary condition. So my. So I'm Rabbi Kolhecha degalda mechayv midaraisa katanami mechan chinan lei midarabanan, and Kolhecha degalda pata midaraisa midarabanan katanami pata. And so the Gemara gives the answer, and the answer is, well, you just simply take the child as he currently is, and just simply ask the question. If he were an adult, would he be obligated? If the answer is no, then there's no mitzvah of chinuch. And if the child is currently not obligated, wait, did I just say that? Okay, I'm sorry. If the child is currently not obligated, so then ask the question. If the child were an adult, is he obligated? If yes, then there's chinuch. And if the child currently, if he were an adult, would he not be obligated? Then there is no chinuch. Which, by the way, is really interesting because we change from the question to the answer. Meaning the way Rashi presents it. Meaning, because in the question we're assuming that what's the purpose of chinuch is to create habits. That was the Gemara's assertion at the point of the question. Now the Gemara's answer is that we don't have to forecast what's going to be happening in the future. We just simply ask the question: this child, as he's currently constructed, if he were an adult, is he obligated? If the answer is yes chinuch, and if the answer is no, then no chinuch. Meaning, if the whole point over here, like Rashi said moments earlier, is to train them and develop habits, so if we see that he's going to recover, and if we see that he's going to walk, so wouldn't we want to do the mitzvah of chinuch? So it's a really interesting tension in the Gemara in terms of what the purpose of chinuch is, what we're trying to accomplish regarding chinuch. Okay, I'll leave it at that. Obviously, much more to discuss over here, but we got to continue. We have a daf to go through. We're at the next part of the Mishnah. Okay, this is typically how it goes. The first number of dapim goes slow, and now we kick it up a gear. We're at the next point of the Mishnah, and we're discussing now the amount that you have to be spending on the karbanos. So there are spending guidelines. Tosfos points out over here that midaraisa, there's only one carbon that has an actual spending guideline, right? Tosfos. Yeah, I saw it. It's here. Oh, Hari'ir Shtei Kesef. Okay. So Tosos points out over there that really there's only one carbon. You can see Tosos that has a real spending guideline. But over here, and in terms of the carbonos that you have to bring on Yontov, so the Chachamim instituted guidelines and requirements in terms of how much you need to spend. So what are those guidelines? So if you recall in the Mishnah, it's a machlokas between Beit Shammai and Beit Hillel. So what was the machlokas? So take a look at the Mishnah. I'm just going back to the Mishnah. The Mishnah writes. Here we go. It's at the end of the Mishnah. So Beit Shammai Omrim Hari'iya Shtei Kesef. Vachagiga ma'a kesef. Okay, so you're spending more on your Ola than you are on your Shlamim according to Beit Shammai. Beit Hillel, chiluf advarim, the exact opposite. And that is a ri'iyah ma'a kesef, vachagiga shtei kesef. The ri'iyah is going to be an Ola, a ma'a, and the chagiga, the Shlamim, is going to be two. Okay, so what is this machlokis predicated on? So that will be really, honestly, the balance of today's daf. Okay, so one question. The answer, it's actually a pretty short answer, but the Gemara is going to elaborate on this answer. And so let's see. Beit Shammai Omrim Hari'iya Shtei Kesef V'Chulei. Tana Rabbanan Beit Shammai Omrim Hari'iya Shtei Kesef V'Chagiga Ma'a Kesef. So we start off in this Braisa. This Braisa is going to be like our Mishnah, but with more. In other words, we're going to get a little bit more explanation. The Braisa says that according to Beit Shammai, the Ri'iya is going to be Shtei Kesef. You have to spend two Ma'a on your Ola. And v'chagiga ma kesef sharia ola kula legavoa ma she'enki mechagiga. So argument number one: the ola is entirely takarsh baruch hu, like every ola is entirely takarsh baruch hu. That's it's built into the name ola. It totally goes up. The aros are taken off and given to the kohanim, but the animal effectively is burnt entirely on the mizbeach. So you want to spend money on something that is going kula l'Hashem. On the other hand, the chagigas are shlamim, so we're going to be eating it. The kohanim are going to be eating it. Yeah, the small little bits of it are going to go up onto the Mizbech. That's called the Imurim. But so, in other words, we want to spend more money towards the Kadosh Baruch Hu than we do on ourselves. That's argument number one. The Ode, Matzina Bat Sarah, Shariba Ben Makasav Ba'olos Yoser Mibishlamim. And let's take a look at the complement of carbonos that are brought on Shavuos. So, how many carbonos are there brought on Shavuos? Or 12? Okay, you can see Rashi. Right now, just for the sake of brevity, you could trust me. Generally speaking, I wouldn't advise. But in other words, there are 12 carbonos in total that are brought on Shavuos. Of the 12 carbonos that are brought on Shavuos, how many of them are shlamim? Two. Two shlamim, 10 olos. That's a ratio of 1 to 5. So you see over here that when we have a complement of carbonos that are coming on Shavuos, so we bring much more olos than we do shlamim. So now, if I could take that ratio and just simply apply it to a standard yontiv, where I know I have an ola requirement and a shlamim requirement, so therefore, I should be spending more on the Ola than I should on the Shlamim. Yeah, so I know the answer to that question. I'm excited. So because the only time that you're bringing Shlamim is only on Shavuos, where there's a requirement to bring Shlamim. There is no requirement to bring Shlamim, meaning, obviously, outside of the Chagiga discussion, meaning just in terms of the Yontif discussion. That's it. So Shavuos is the only time that you have Shlamim. Okay. If you're mathematical, so it's a little bit odd that the ratio doesn't really work out. Meaning, for the second argument, so if we're looking at the ratio between Ola and Shlamim, so that's a ratio of 1 to 5. And meanwhile, in terms of the spending guidelines that are given by Beit Shammai, it's 2 to 1. Okay, fine. Anyway, Ube Sela Omrim Hari'iya Ma Kesef Achigiga Shtei Kesef. Okay, so now we gave two arguments on behalf of Beit Shammai. And by the way, this is the two argument structure. Is pretty standard. I'm thinking of the Gemara and Brachos in terms of Kiddush, Yain and Kiddush, which one should come in front of which, and so it's a two argument structure. Okay, so over here, we turn our attention to Beis Hillel. See, he says just the opposite. You're spending one ma'a on the Ola and two ma'a on the Shlamim. So why? So v'chagiga shtei kesef shechagiga yeshal lefnei adib ma'ashen kein b'riya. So argument number one. Argument number one is that there existed a chagiga before the Torah was given to us. The Ola did not exist. The Olas Riyah did not exist. And also, you want to talk about a complement of karbanos. So when the Nesim, in fact, brought their karbanos by the Chanukah Samishkan, Parshas Naso, so what you'll notice over there is that they brought Shlamim more than they brought Olos. Okay, over here, I don't have numbers to give you. I don't have a ratio in terms of how to do it. But the Gemara's assumption is it was more shlamim than it was olos. Okay, so the adkan divrei habraisa. So what the braisa now has presented us is the same achlokas b'shamay and b'sol that we saw in our Mishnah, but with arguments in tow. Two arguments in defense of Beis Shammai, two arguments in defense of Beis Hillel. O Beis Hillel, my time alone, Amrika Beis Shammai. So now, obviously, with the arguments, there are also counter arguments as well. Meaning, the Gemara now is just simply going to fill in the blanks. Why do Beis Hillel not agree with the Shita of Beis Shammai? What do they not see in the arguments of Beis Shammai? So the Gemara goes over the back and forth. So we start off with Beis Hillel. What did they not like about Shitas Beis Shammai? So first of all, the first assumption that Ola exceeds that of Shlamim, because Ola is Kula LaHashem, I'll counter by simply saying, how many consumers are we talking about? By an Ola, there's only one consumer, the Mizbeach. By a Shlamim, there are multiple consumers. There is the Mizbeach. There is the owner. There is the Kohanim. Right? The Gemara describes it as Shtei Achilos. I assume the Gemara just simply means people and Mizbeach.
What about the fact that
all those touch and Shlomo is touch? Okay, right. In other words, the problem could be attacked in many different ways, with the Gemara just simply providing the counter to this particular point. Udi Kamar, Nail of Matzeres, Dan and Karben Yachim, Karben Yachim, Dan and Karben Yachim, Karben Sibor. And as far as number two is that, well, we're going to be learning it from the complement of Karbanos that are brought on Shavuos. You know, Shavuos, all those Karbanos that are described, the 10 olos and the 2 shlamim, so those are carbon sibor. But we're talking about a chagiga, that's an individual carbon. We're talking about an olos riyah, that's also an individual carbon. So I'm going to be learning the halachas and the spending guidelines of a carbon yachid from a carbon sibor. I'd rather not. And in fact, when you go back to the Bryce, you go back to Beis Hillel, he learned from the Nisim. Presumably, the Nisim are bringing their own carbonus. That's a carbon yachid. That's a better source. Okay, so that is now the refutation of Beis Hillel to Beis Shammai's argument. Now we're going to go in the other direction. So to the argument that, you know, there was Shlamim and Shammai Chagiga before Ma'amad Har Sinai. By the way, I have not really explained what that means. We will all see in just a moment what that means. But much like there was Shlamim b'Kodem HaDibur, there was also Ola Kodem HaDibur as well. We're going to clarify that particular point in just a moment. Udikamar Nelef Menesim. So, and what do you want to do? You want to learn out from the Nesim. So, Dan and Davar Ano Gledoros, Midavar Ano Gledoros, Vein Dan and Davar Ano Gledoros, Midavar Shein Ano Gledoros. You're learning from the Nesim. You know how many times that occurred historically? Once. The Nesim brought their Kabbanos for Chanukos HaMishkan in Parshas Naso. And that's it. So you're going to be learning the halacha of Chagiga and Olas Riyah, which is generational. And you're going to be learning it from the Nisim, which only occurred on one occasion historically. Okay. Ubei Sila Maishna Chagiga Deishna Lefnei Adibur. Okay, now, encrypted in this debate over here, so we're having a discussion/debate in terms of whether or what came before Imam at Har Sinai. Which carbonates were brought prior to the Torah being given to us. And what we just saw together is that Shitas Beis Hillel has the Shlamim being offered before Matan Torah. And according to Beis Shammai, Shlamim and Ola were offered before. What's going on over here? The Gemara is going to explain. So from the perspective of Beis Hillel, where do we know that Shlamim were offered before Matan Torah? Okay, so Dichsiv. So we're going to look at the following pasuk. Now this is going to be slightly confusing, so let's first map it out so that we get to see it a little bit clearer. Okay, Torah was given in Parshas Yisro. Okay, hard to argue that point. Then what? So we know that there was a Hachana prior to the Torah being given. So if you're following me in the Chumasho, Perek Yutes is the Hachana, and Perek Chaf that's the Aseres Hadibros. That's Revelation. And then, but the assumption, of course, is that began the giving of the Torah. The Nesinas the Torah was given at Ma'amad Har Sinai. Okay, exactly what that means, not totally clear, but I don't have to belabor that particular point for now. Okay, then what happens is that Parshas Yisro comes to an end, and then we turn to Parshas Mishpatim, the very next Parsha, right, starting with Perek Chaf Aleph. Chaf Aleph, Chaf Beis, Chaf Gimel. Then we get to Perek Chaf Dalet, which is the end of Parshas Mishpatim. Now, at the end of Parshas Mishpatim, so what are we given? Moshe going up to Har Sinai. When did that happen? So Rashi over here, as Rashi and Chumash also does, so Rashi over here is asserting, and our Gemara is pretty much assuming that as well, is that even though it's recorded after, well after Mamad Har Sinai, meaning we're at the end of Parshas Mishpatim, but we have the principle of Ein Muktam Amurcha B'Torah, there's no chronology in the Torah, and that Perek, Chav Dalid, is really a description of Kodem Matan Torah. Now it happens to be that Mefarshim and Chumash do debate this very issue, but for our purposes right now, in terms of learning the Gemara, we're going to be giving just one position, one approach, and that Chavdalid is Kodem Matan Torah. Okay. So now, it's one of the preparatory days prior to the giving of the Torah. With all that stated, now we're going to be looking at Psukim and Perek Chavdalid, and we're going to be analyzing. So the pasuk says that they offered shlamim. So it's Kodem Matan Torah. Okay, as I just explained, right? See above for that. So it's Kodem Matan Torah, and the Torah is describing that they brought zvachim. So this lends to the argument of Beis Hillel that shlamim were offered before Matan Torah. To which the Gemara's response, and the response over here, if you know the psukim, it's the obvious response. So Gemara says, Ria nami yachsiva yelu alos. So okay, I'll tell you what, I'll keep looking at that very same pasuk, and I'll make the observation. It also says that they offered olos. You're going to tell me now that the olos over there, that they didn't offer olos before Matan Torah? I'm looking at the same pasuk, and it says that they offered olos. Okay. So, kasavri beis hillel, olos shekirva Yisrael b'midbar, olos tamid havai. So, to which beis hillel will counter and will say, that wasn't the special ola because of re'iyah. Now, the word re'iyah that I'm using right now, I'm using a little bit looser. In other words, re'iyah not so much in the context of yantiv, but re'iyah, in other words, there was revelation. So Beis Hillel says, you misunderstood. The pasuk over there describing the zvachim, that's shlamim because there was an encounter, there was revelation. The ola that was mentioned over there, this is Beis Hillel's argument, that's just olas tamid. They were already offering the daily carbon. So and what Beis Shammai will tell you is that, no, I disagree. In other words, I'm telling you that the Ola that they offered over there, that was the Olas Re'iyah. That wasn't Olas Tamid. Okay. So where do we stand at this juncture in the Gemara? So we have now machloks between Beis Shammai and Beis Hillel. What are the spending guidelines / requirements regarding the Olas Re'iyah and the Shammai Chagiga on Yantav? So Beis Shammai has the Ola exceeding the Shlamim at a ratio of 2-1. And Beis Hillel says the exact opposite. We saw a Brisa. Brisa gave us two arguments for Beis Shammai, gave us two arguments for Beis Hillel, and then the back and forth. The Gemara then, after the Brisa, goes over why Beis Shammai dismisses the arguments of Beis Hillel and vice versa. That's the structure of the Gemara Ad Kan. And now, for the rest of today's daf, Amar Abaye, Beis Shammai, V'Rebbe Eliezer, V'Rebbe Yishmael Kulo Sfir Lehu, Olos Sheikruv Yisrael B'Midbar, Olos Re'iyah Havai. So, not only do Beis Shammai, but in addition to that, Rabbi Elazar and Rabbi Shmuel all are of the opinion that the carbon tamid has been offered throughout the 40 years in the Midbar, even starting before Matan Torah, as the pasuk in Perek Chavdal describes. And Beis Hillel, Rabbi Kiva, Rabbi Yosef, Aglilu, Kulas Riyah Lahu, Olas Sheikruv Yisrael B'Midbar, Olas, sorry, I said it wrong. According to Beis Shammai and Rabbi Elazar and Rabbi Shmuel, it was Olas Re'iyah, not the Olas Tamid. And Beis Hillel, Rabbi Kiva, Rabbi Yosef, Aglilu, Kulas Riyah Lahu, Olas Sheikruv Yisrael B'Midbar, Olas Tamid Havai. They're of the position that was a carbon tamid. So, this is, Abai does this throughout Shas. He lines up Tanayim. If you did a search, you ran your typical search engines. So, and you find out how many times Abai does this throughout Shas. I don't have a number for you. I will simply say it happens frequently in the Gemara. So over here, this is standard now. Abai is aligning various Tanayim in two different camps. Either Klal Yisrael offered carbon ola throughout the Midbar, including and even before Mamad Har Sinai, or no. And the pasuk in Mishpatim describing the olas that were offered, that's olas re'iyah. Okay, so now, we have we have team olas re'iyah and team olas tamid. So we're going to start off with team olas re'iyah. Beis Shammai is of the position that the olas that were offered were olas re'iyah. So, Beis Shammai, and according to Abaye, also Rabbi Shmuel, and also Rabbi Elazar. So, let's get our sources for this. So we start off with Team Re'iya. Beisham Ehad Amaran. No, we're starting off, I made the same mistake again. We're starting off with Team Tamid. Okay, so Team Tamid. So Beisham Ehad Amaran. So we already know Beisham's position. Okay, and Rabbi Yishmael, Detanya. As far as Rabbi Yishmael is concerned, so we have a Braisa, Detanya Rabbi Yishmael Amar Klaus Nemar B'Sinai. Upratos Bawa Moed. So how was the Torah? How was the Torah given to us? Really fundamental machlokas over here between the Tanaim, Rabbi Yishmael and Rabbi Akiva. Rabbi Yishmael says the way the Torah was given to us is as follows: at Har Sinai, so you know what we were given? Generalities, meaning what we were given at Har Sinai was just an outline of the Torah. Then what happens is that the Mishkan was built, and just in terms of historically, nearly a year later. Right, the first day of Nisan is the first day of Nisan of the second year is the actual opening day of the Mishkan, and it's at that point in time when we had a Mishkan and when we had an Ol Moed, all the details of the Torah then were filled in. So that means that according to Rabbi Yishmael, just to digest this information, according to Rabbi Yishmael, so that for that first year in the Midbar, so we had a rough idea of what the Torah actually contained therein. But only when we were given the Mishkan, nearly a year later, then and only then were we filled in with all the details. Okay. That's Shitas Rabbi Yishmael. And Rabbi Kiva says no. Rabbi Kiva says, so I'm sorry, Klolos Nemar B'Sinai, Pratos Balamoe, we're on the top of the Amud Beis. And according to Rabbi Kiva, Omer Klolos Pratos Nemar B'Sinai, Vinishtan Balamoe, Vinishtal Shabbat Arfas Moav. And Shitas Rabbi Kiva said no. That, you know what, we were given a Mamad Har Sinai? Kol HaTorah Kula, with all the details. And then in terms of what happens in Ol Moed, we go round two. And what happens in Arvas Moav, right, the beginning of Sefer Dvarim, so that's round three. So the Torah was given over with all of its details three times over. So now, how does that have anything to do with our discussion? The Gemara makes the following argument. So what do you want to tell me now? That we were offering the carbon Ola, the Olas Tamid, throughout the Midbar, including even before Mamad Har Sinai, can't be. So because then what's going to happen? A carbon ola by definition needs to be flayed. That's hefshe, and it needs to be cut in pieces. Nituach. Now those are details. Now according to Rabbi Yishmael, those details were not provided until the Mishkan was built. So now you're going to tell me that we offer the carbon ola, meaning the olas tamid, in an imprecise way, meaning we didn't even know that a carbon ola requires hefshe v'nituach. So you're going to make the argument now that we offer the ola tamid without hefshe v'nituach. The Gemara is making a lot of assumptions over here. The most basic assumption the Gemara is making is that it's a detail and we didn't know about it. And if we didn't know about it, it's impossible to imagine now that we offered it in an imprecise manner. Without Hefshev and Nituach. It can't be. So therefore, right, so let's go now, fill in the Gemara's, based on these assumptions, fill in the Gemara's point. Therefore, it must be that according to Rabbi Yishmael, the Ola that was offered in Parshas Mishpatim, in Perichav Dalid, is the Ola Sri'iya. Okay, that's the argument that's provided on behalf of Rabbi Yishmael. Admittedly, that argument is built on a lot of assumptions. But that's the argument for Rabbi Yishmael. I don't know. It's a fair question. I don't know. Right? So, Rebbe Lazar de Tanya.
It's an
oil. The truth of the matter is that the requirement of Hefshev and Nituach is not even mentioned by the carbon olas tamid. It's mentioned by olas nedava. Right, my chavrus and I were discussing this at length. In fact, those of you who came saw that, you know, he was sitting on this point for a while. Anyway, it's not. I'm making the Gemara sound a lot simpler than it really is. But okay, let's just leave it at that. So we have now Shitas Beis Shammai. The Ola that was offered was Olas Riyah. We have Shitas now Rabbi Yishmael. He doesn't say it so explicitly, but it's assumed that he also is of the position that's Olas Riyah. And finally, Rebbe Lazar. So Rebbe Lazar, the Tanya we learned in a Braisa. Olas tamid asir bahar Sinai. Reb Lazar omre maaseha nemra b'Sinai v'yatzma lo karva. So olas tamid. So it was instructed at Har Sinai, but it wasn't actually offered. So he says it explicitly. In other words, his position is clear. It was not offered by Har Sinai, and presumably not throughout the Midbar. And Rabbi Kiva Amar Karva v'shuv lo paska. And Rabbi Kiva says, what are you talking about? The Karban Tamid was offered from the very beginning, from Mamad Har Sinai. Elamani mekayim ezvachim amnachim igashim li b'midbar abim shana beis Yisrael. There is a pasuk in Amos. Now the pasuk in Amos makes the following statement. It's a rhetorical question. Did you offer zvachim umincha for the 40 years in the desert? Now that question is built on the assumption you did not. How do you understand the pasuk in Amos? So shiftu shalevi shalav d'avod azar heini krivo osa. So the way that Rabbi Kiva will respond to that is that Klal, you're right, Klal Yisrael didn't offer the Karban Tamid. They were not in a position where they could. Rashi's description over here in our Gemara, they were nezufim. They were rebuked, reprimanded, presumably over Chet HaEgel. Okay, so they were not bringing Karbanos, but Sheva Levi were. And Rashi over here says that they funded it as well. Which in of itself, by the way, again, you want to go down another rabbit hole, right? Really interesting. A Karban Sibor, which is funded by just Sheva Levi. Okay. Anyway, where do we stand right now? We have three Tanayim, Beis Shammai, Rabbi Shmuel, Rabbi Lazar, who are all of the position that the Ola that was offered by Mamad Har Sinai, so that was Olas Riyo. Okay. Where do we stand right now? So we have to go over the other three Tanayim. So that would be Beis Hillel and the two other Tanayim that Abaye associates with him. So Beis Hillel HaDamarin. So Beis Hillel, we have already established that for him, the Ola that's mentioned by Mamad Har Sinai in Perichov Dalid, so that's the Olas Tamid. So it therefore has no weight on the discussion of how much more should I be spending on the Chagiga or the Olas Ri'ya. As far as the Olas concerned by Mamad Har Sinai, that was an Olas Tamid. That stays off the discussion. Good. And now, Rabbi Kiva Hanami Damar. Now, Rabbi, as far as Rabbi Kiva is concerned, so we know that according to Rabbi Kiva, they were offering Olas Tamid throughout the Midbar, including even at this juncture in Perichav Dalet and Mamad Har Sinai. So, and we already saw that. So we don't need to bring a source for that. We're left only having one more Tana to explain, and that's the Shita Rabbi Yossi. Rabbi Yossi Glili Detani, Rabbi Yossi Glili Amar Shalosh Mitzvos and Stavu Yisrael Ba'alosam Lerego. So there are three mitzvos that the Jewish people are obligated, and when they're Ola Lerego. So Re'iyah V'chagigah V'simcha. So there are three karbanos. Now, Yesh B'Re'iyah Shem B'Shtayim V'Yesh B'Chagigah Shem B'Shtayim V'Yesh B'Simcha Shem B'Shtayim. Now, although there are three karbanos, and although they're bundled together, but each one of them has a feature the other two do not have. So yesh biri'iyah she'en b'shtem sharia ola kula legavoa, ma she'en ken b'shtem. So the difference between the olas riyah versus the other two are shlamim. The olas riyah is an ola. Okay, pretty straightforward. Next, yesh b'chagiga ma she'en ken b'shtem she'chagiga yeshna lefnei adibor, ma she'en b'shtem. Now, as far as the chagiga is concerned, what is unique about the chagiga? Kodem adibor. We offer the Chagiga, meaning Parshas Mishpatim, Perichav Dalet. The other two were not offered before Adibor. And Yesh B'Simcha, Mashayim B'Shtayim, Shasimcha Noeges, Be'anashim Uvenashim, Mashayim B'Shtayim. Women are obligated in Shami Simcha. Women are not obligated neither in the Olas Riyah nor in the Shami Chagiga. Okay. All that is Shitas Rav Yossi Aglili. It comes out over here that according to Rav Yossi Aglili, the Olas Tamid was not offered Kodem Adibor. The Olas Re'iyah was not offered Kodem Adibor. Okay. Rabbi Yishmael, Maitama Kamuk, Meslaka Beis Shammai. And now the Gemara says, good. So according to Abaye, we have it all lined up. Okay. We have Team Beis Shammai and Team Beis Hillel. Shitas Beis Shammai is of the position. The Ola that they were offering in the Midbar was the Olas Re'iyah. And according to Beis Hillel, together with Rabbi Kiva, together Rabbi Yosei Glili, the Ola that the Jewish people were offering in the Midbar was in fact the Olas Tamid. Okay. So a basic machlokus in terms of when did the Olas Tamid begin? At what point in Jewish history? And again, all this is coming in our daf today because it is going to be supporting the arguments of Beis Hillel and Beis Shammai vis-a-vis how much you should be spending on your Shammai Chagiga versus your Olas Re'iyah. And again, just to make sure that we have it clear, let's just focus on Beis Hillel, just to make everything nice and simple. So according to Beis Hillel, so you're spending on the shlamim is going to exceed 2 to 1 the spending that you're going to do on the olas re'iyah. Now, why? So again, there are two arguments that the Gemara gave, but just focusing on our single point that really is really the mainstay of today's daf, it's because the shlamim existed prior to Matan Torah, and the ola did not. What about the ola that's actually mentioned over there? That's the olas tamid. That's not the olas re'iyah. Good. That's the whole point of today's daf, vis-a-vis the shita of Beis Hillel. Now, the Gemara says, with all that stated, so what did we do? So we lined up, when I say we, I'm talking about Abaye. So he lined up the shita of Abaye together with Beis Shammai. Now, that was a little bit speculative, because Rabbi Yishmael did not discuss at all the Olas Tamid versus the Olas Re'iyah. He was making a larger point in terms of how the Torah was given to us. According to Rabbi Yishmael, it was given to us beklalos, and only almost a year later, once we were given the Mishkan, the details of the Torah were filled in. That's Shitas Rabbi Yishmael. And from there, what we did is we made a number of assumptions, including, well, you can't be offering the Karban Tamid prior to that, because the Karban Tamid, by definition, needs Hefshev v'nituach. And what do you want to tell me? They offered the Karban Tamid without Hefshev v'nituach? But that, of course, is speculation, and the Gemara now is challenging. So Rabbi Shmuel, my time, kamuk meslaka beishama isa kedacha ola shikur v'yisrael b'midbar olas tamid avai, mika midin demi karolo b'yehshev v'nituach, l'vesof b'yehshev v'nituach. So the Gemara just simply reviews the argument that we gave in supporting a Abaye's thesis that Rabbi Shmuel holds like Beishamai. So Rabbi Yosef, l'damar ola shikur v'yisrael b'midbar olas tamid avai, mika karolo b'yehshev v'nituach, l'vesof b'yehshev v'nituach. Now, what are you going to do? Meaning you're going to have to say the same thing for Rabbi Yosef Aglili. How do I know that? The Tanya of Yosef Aglila Amar Ola Shekriv Yisrael BeMidbar Ein Atuna Hashem Nituach Lefishen Hashem Nituach Elam Ol Moed VeElach. So, do you see what just happened? According to Rabbi Yosef, so you don't need Hashem Nituach. How come? Because we didn't know about Hashem Nituach. Okay, so we offered the Ola Satamid without Hashem Nituach, and then once we were given the details, so then we just simply plugged in Hashem Nituach. So the whole argument for Rabbi Yishmael falls away as we just see Rabbi Yosef Aglili casually shrugs off, okay, so we didn't have Hefshev v'nituach originally because we didn't know about it, and then we introduced Hefshev v'nituach once we knew about it. Okay, so there goes the argument of Abaye. So summon mikan Rabbi Shmuel. So the Gemara says, okay, so now what we're going to have to do is that we're just simply going to take Rabbi Shmuel out of the discussion, meaning that for who is now situated with Beis Shammai, so it's only Rabbi Elazar and it's not Rabbi Shmuel. And Rashi over here writes, and this is what I alluded to earlier in today's daf. Rashi over here writes that what the Gemara is bothered by is that you want to now line up Rabbi Shmuel with Beis Shammai based on assumptions. In other words, why would you do that? Beis Shammai is a position that is a rejected position, right? Beis Shammai b'makom Beis Hillel ain't no Mishnah. And now, just based on a number of assumptions, and Rabbi Shmuel didn't say it beferish, and now you're prepared to line up Rabbi Shmuel together with Beis Shammai? Well, you shouldn't do that. And if there's another way to explain Rabbi Shmuel, which there is, the Gemara just gave it to us, so then obviously we'd rather have Rabbi Shmuel going like Beis Hillel rather than going like Beis Shammai. Okay. By Rav Chista. Okay, we'll end off today's daf with one more point. All right, so a lot of today's daf revolved around the 24th parak of Shmos, the end of Parshas Mishpatim. We're there in anticipation of Mamad Har Sinai, so we offered karbanos. Which karbanos did we offer? So we know we offered Ola and Zvachim. It's just a major debate in today's daf. We know the Zvachim were Shami Chagiga. Okay? Right? The Rashi over here at one point in the daf writes, how do we know they're Shami Chagiga? So Vayachogu li b'midbar. A really interesting source that takes us all the way back to when Moshe was in Mitzrayim and making the request to Paro. Okay? Vayachogu li b'midbar. Okay, so anyway, so Shami Chagiga. What about the olas? What were they? So that's today's daf, right? Chagiga Perek Vav. Sorry, Perek Vav. So Chagiga Daf Vav. So it has a major debate in terms of what the olas were. Were they olas re'iyah? Or was it just simply the tamid that was offered daily? Okay. So with all that stated, the Gemara now is just going to end off today with a, if you will, an epilogue. By Rav Chista, Haikrai Echiksiv. Vayishlach es narei b'nei Yisrael vayalu olos. Now, the Gemara inserts over here kvasim. And vayizbechu zvachim shlamim laHashem parim. So if you look at the pasuk itself, it doesn't mention kvasim, but it does mention parim. So are we to assume now that vayalu ya'olos, what you're going to now do is put a hard pause in the pasuk, right? Rashi describes it as esnachda. So and the assumption over there is that and what is a standard ola? It's a keves. And then when the pasuk goes on, v'yizbuchus vachim shlamim la'Hashem, that's a reference to parim. That's one possibility. Odilma idividi parim havu, and or maybe no, maybe you read the pasuk without a hard pause. And when the pasuk says v'yishlachas na'arei b'nei Yisrael v'yilua alos v'yizbuchus vachim, so there's no pause, and parim is going to be assigned to everything, both the olos and the zvachim. So the Gemara says, okay, lamai nafkamina. So the Gemara says, okay, that's a great question. But you know when that happened? It happened 3,300 years ago. So if you were interested in knowing what happened 3,300 years ago, that's great. But it doesn't that doesn't warrant a halachic discussion. And we are interested in halacha. So it's very nice, right? Why do I care? So the Gemara says, marzucha amar lepisuk ta'amim. So the Gemara says, well, there could be two practical points to make. One is the point of marzucha, which is to chop. Meaning we're going to be laning the pasuk, and so what's the proper chop that you have to put in? So if we're going to be separating the two phrases, so that requires a hard pause. Rashi writes an esnachta. If not, so you put in a chop that does not reflect a hard pause. Rashi writes akev katon. That's one reason why I need to know. Now, speaking to my chavrus earlier this morning, so I'm just curious. I don't know the answer. This is going to be a difficult question. What does that mean in terms of the ta'amim? We learned back in the beginning of Maseches Megillah that ta'amim are part of Halacha Moshe Mitzrayim. As part of the Masorah, we have ta'amim. The Gemara is asking the question over here in terms of what the ta'amim should be. So don't we know? Meaning chicken to egg question. Which came first? The ta'amim came first and therefore we now know the correct pshat, or the correct pshat and therefore we know the ta'amim? It's a difficult question. I don't have a prepared answer. So, Rav Acha Berei de Rav Amar La Omer Harei Alai Ola Ka Ola Sheikriv Yisrael BeMidbar. So, my parm havo kvasim havo teku. Or another halachic nafkamina is that let's say you make the following neder. I want to commit myself to bringing a carbon ola, just like the Jewish people did at Mamad Har Sinai. Oh, okay. So now you need to know. Well, what animal did they bring as a carbon ola? So we have two possibilities: either they brought kvasim or they brought parim. And so, if you know, then that will fix what your neder is going to be. But if you don't know, so then you're going to get stuck in your neder. Take the Gemara says, okay, great question. I don't know the answer. Okay, perfect. Ad kan. Yeah. Okay. Yeah. Yeah. All right. So let's quickly recap. Let's review our daf today. Number one, our first discussion today is chinuch. So, oh, thank you. I told you not to worry. Okay. I really appreciate it. Okay. We talked about the mitzvah of chinuch. So as far as the mitzvah of chinuch is concerned, how did the child get to Yerushalayim to begin with? So the Gemara's response is mom brought him up to Yerushalayim. The mother has a chiyuv, not of re'iyah, but mom has a chiyuv of the mitzvah of simcha. Mom brought him to Yerushalayim, and then from there, so dad and the child, according to Beis Hillel, as long as the child can walk, so dad and the child then will do the mitzvah of olas re'iyah. As far as the mitzvah of chinuch is concerned, so really fundamental discussion in our Gemara, in the Amud Aleph, in terms of what is the purpose, what's the nature of chinuch? Is it lahargil? Is it to habituate? Is it basically that we're going to forecast if this child right now were an adult, would he be obligated? Okay, so a real basic discussion about what chinuch is trying to accomplish. And then for the remainder of today's daf, one topic and one topic only, and that is the spending requirements on your karbanos. Mina Torah, Tosfos writes in today's daf, Mina Torah, only one carbon has spending requirements, but the Chachamim demanded that your Chagiga and your Olas Riyah have spending minimums. So what are they? Machlokes between Beis Shammai and Beis Hillel. And over the course of today's daf, so we outlined two arguments in defense of Beis Shammai, who says that your Olas should be two and your Chagiga should be one Ma'a, and two arguments in defense of Beis Hillel, that your Chagiga needs to be two and your Ola needs to be one. The Gemara then on the Amud Aleph goes over what each Tana is doing with the other Tana's two arguments and how they argue. And then for the remainder of today's daf, starting on Vav Amud Aleph, going all the way through the remainder of today's daf, and that is that the Pasuk in Mishpatim does in fact describe the Jewish people bringing Olas by Kodem Matan Torah. And as we already discussed today, our Gemara's position is that Perek Chav Dalet is Kodem Matan Torah. Ein Muktam HaMorucha B'Torah, so Perek Chav Dalet, even though it found in the Torah well after Mamad Har Sinai, but is assumed to have been Kodem Matan Torah. And the Torah's description over there of the Ola, the Chagiga, a non-starter of a discussion. The Chagiga for sure is the Shami Chagiga. But the olas that they offered over there, so there are two possibilities. Either it's an olas tamid, or it's an olas re'iya. That's built into the machlokes Beis Shammai and Beis Hillel, and Abaye says that there are Tanaim that are on team Beis Shammai, and there are Tanaim that are on team Beis Hillel. And over the course of today's daf, we just, on the Amud Beis, we just went over the Tanaim, who aligns with Beis Shammai, who aligns with Beis Hillel. Rabbi Shmuel, when originally presented, Abaye attempted to align him with Beis Shammai. Eventually, the Gemara moved him over to team Beis Hillel, and that really is the remainder of today's daf. And then finally, just one last look at that pasuk in Parshas Mishpatim in terms of where to put the trapin properly.